الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعد الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن العبد إذا أخطأ خطيئة نكتت في قلبه نكتة، فإذا هو نزع واستغفر وتاب سقل قلبه، وإن عاد زيد فيها حتى تعلو قلبه، وهو الران الذي ذكر الله تعالى. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected ulama kiram, respected elders, brothers, young friends, and my mothers and sisters, as Mufti Ismail Sahib has explained, that living in this world, the harms of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and going against His commands and the effects of that in one's individual life, collective life, and the world over can never be disregarded. And it is a fact which our Sharia very clearly explains and advises the believers that when you sin, when you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then not only are you as an individual harming yourself, you're harming the community that you live in, you're harming the entire humanity. In order to understand this concept, a verse of the Quran is sufficient for us to ponder upon, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says: ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعد الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. That corruption, disarray, fasad has become rife on earth and in the sea due to what mankind has earned, due to what mankind does and the manner in which he behaves. لِيُذِيكُهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make mankind taste a bit and a portion of what they have done. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that they may return. So Allah mentions very clearly in this verse that disarray, corruption, disaster, its appearance on the earth and in the sea, the cause of it is the actions and the doings of mankind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in a hadith that prior to the day of judgment, there shall be so many earthquakes, there shall be instances where the earth will sink and take people in itself. So the reason behind this is none other than the actions and the deeds that mankind do on the surface of this earth. In the past, seldom would you hear of earthquakes, seldom would you hear of tornadoes, seldom would you hear of cyclones, seldom would you hear of the earth cracking and hole appearing in the earth and taking someone inside. But these things have become everyday news nowadays. You never heard about tsunamis, but this is something that is factual and reality. So in this world, whatever happens, it happens through causes and means. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the Almighty, All-Powerful, He does as He wishes. And He is in no need of creating a means or a reason for something to happen. It's not that Allah is compelled to do something because of that mean and the reason appearing. That is not the case. It is just the system of the world and the manner in which Allah has created this world, that this world being a place where means are adopted by mankind in order to quench one's thirst. The means is that you have to drink water. But not necessarily can one's thirst be quenched with water. That is our belief. But Allah has created this world that if you are thirsty, the means to quench your thirst, you will have to drink water. But Allah has the power and might to quench someone's thirst without water. If a person is hungry, the means Allah has created to relieve hunger is that you eat. If someone wants to have children, the means Allah has created is that you get married. So this world has been created and been fashioned in such a manner that everything happens through means and through reason. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the deeds and the actions that a person does on this earth, He has made them a means of either prosperity and tranquility prevailing on the surface of this earth, or hardship, difficulty and anxiety befalling mankind. When a person embarks on fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants of him, then Allah promises that individual, whether they are male or female, of a prosperous life in this world. Allah says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That whosoever from a believing male or female does good deeds, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, we will most definitely give that person a good life in this world. So Allah promises that when you do good deeds, Your life in this world will be free of trouble, free of anxiety, free from difficulty, free from hardship. And this does not mean, according to our limited understanding, that we will become millionaires, we will drive the fastest cars, we will have the best of houses. No. That could be a way in which Allah makes this worldly life prosperous and successful for us. And Allah can also fulfill this through other ways, that He does not give you the riches of this world, but the little that you have, you are content with that. Whatever Allah gives, you are content and you never feel deprived. Because in reality, it is the contentment of the heart. When a person acquires, he has acquired everything in this world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that laysa al-ghina an kathratil ardi walakin al-ghina ghina an-nafs, that wealth and becoming opulent and rich and wealthy, it is not dependent and based on amassing a lot of wealth. So a rich person and a wealthy man is not he who has amassed and accumulated a lot of wealth. وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. Becoming opulent, rich, wealthy is when a person feels content in his heart. So a person can only have $1 in his pocket, and if he is content with that, he is more richer than the millionaire. That millionaire who still toils day and night to make that million into a billion. He's not rich. He is only rich when he feels content over whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. So when a person embarks on fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his worldly life of his free from trouble. Dr. Abdul Hay, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, he would say that in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. That indeed those people who say that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter they remain firm upon this belief of theirs, meaning whatever this belief demands, they fulfill. They abide by each and every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah promises them with many promises. One is that Allah says, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا. At the time of their death, angels will descend and they will give them glad tidings that do not worry, do not fear. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, and do not grieve. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ, and listen to the glad tidings of Jannah that you were promised. So Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi would say that a human being who has been given the intellect by Allah, that he is able to create a watch which is waterproof, and you put that watch in water, water would not seep into that watch or affect it in any way. So in the same way, a person who believes in Allah fulfills the commandments of Allah. Allah being the creator, isn't it possible for him to make the heart of this believer grief-proof and fear-proof? Obviously it is. If a human being can create a watch which is waterproof, why cannot Allah create a heart of a believer who believes in him and fulfills his commandments, free from all grief, free from all fear? So by doing what Allah wishes and what Allah demands, a person's life in this world is free from all trouble, because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that takes care of him. It is Allah that sees to his needs. No one and nothing can harm him in any way whatsoever. My Honorable Shaykh Hafizahullah once mentioned an incident with regards to a pious man who, once while walking, when it started to rain, he came across a couple, a married couple that were walking, and whilst walking, he didn't realize that there was a puddle of water. So the rain had fallen, the water had made the soil muddy. So whilst walking, they crossed each other, the couple and this saint. When they crossed each other, his foot fell into that puddle due to which water smeared the clothing of the wife of that man. So the couple that were going past, the wife, the water smeared her clothing and dirtied her clothing. So the husband blew a fit. And he basically began scolding this saint that, "Can't you see where you are walking? Couldn't you see there was a puddle there? And look at the manner in which you smeared my wife's clothes." So obviously the saint, he did not say anything. He did not say anything. He did not retaliate. He listened to the remarks that this person made with total calm and coolness. And he went his way. He went his way. And after he went his way, the couple went home. When they went home, the husband, he decided to go upstairs. So as soon as he was climbing the flight of stairs, he stumbled and he fell and he broke his neck and he died. So when he died and the wife saw this, the first thought that crossed her mind was that the cause of my husband's death was this saint. Because after reaching home, there was nothing that happened. We did not come across anyone or anything that could be blamed for the death of my husband except for that confrontation with that saint. So she begins to wail, cry, and call out that that saint and the old man has killed my husband. So the family, they gather and they say, "What are you saying?" So she says that this is the incident that took place. So they quickly went to that saint. They quickly went to that saint and they began scolding him. They began saying that, "What did you do? What did you do? How did you curse this man that this was his fate, that he fell to his death?" So he said that, "I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who I love and whose commands I fulfill, just as this man loved his wife, and he blew a fit. He blew a fit when I smeared her clothing unintentionally. Because of the love that he had for his wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of me fulfilling his commands, also loves me. And when that man ridiculed me and he spoke rude to me, Allah did not like that. So I did not tell Allah anything. Allah himself became angry and he made sure that he avenged his crime. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him fall to his death." So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sees to the needs of those people who fulfill his commandments and who do as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that once he was seated behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a conveyance, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, "Ya ghulam," that, "Oh young boy, oh lad, ihfadillah yahfazka, ihfadillah tajidhu tijahak," that preserve, fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you shall find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserving and protecting you. Ihfadillah tajidhu tijahak, preserve, fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will find Allah on your side. So you fulfill the commandments of Allah, you preserve the commandments of Allah, Allah will preserve you. You fulfill the commandments of Allah, you will always find Allah on your side. And then he further explains, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لن ينفعوك بشيء إلا ما كتب الله لك. That if the entire humanity were to get together and they decide to benefit you in any way whatsoever, so the entire mankind were to get together and try and bring benefit to a single individual, لَن يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. They cannot benefit you except to the degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predestined for you. Whatever Allah has destined, that is the benefit that will come your way. No one can change the decree of Allah. وَإِنِ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَن يَدُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَن يَدُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَدْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. If they were to get together, if they were to unite, in order to bring you an atom's worth of harm, they will not be able to bring you any harm except for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed and written. Then further, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the scriptures or the book of deeds in which Allah has decreed everything that has been written and it has dried. So nothing can omit and nothing can be changed to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever a person does with regards to fulfilling the commandments of Allah, Allah will always be on his side. It is impossible that person suffer. It is impossible that first person face any hardships and difficulty. I'm going off the topic a bit, but I would just like to mention certain things which are facts and reality in our lives, which we don't ponder upon or we don't take heed to. It is our belief that Islam and following the commandments of Allah is the only way of success. We all believe that. We all accept that. But we fall short in applying that in our lives. If you were to question anyone here, non-Muslim were to speak to you, what do you believe? You would say, I believe in Islam. What do you follow? You follow Islam. So that means you believe, you accept that Islam is a true message. It is the only way of success. But why is it then that despite knowing that Islam tells you to behave in a particular manner, you don't abide by that? Why is it that you don't fulfill the commandments of Allah? So we are not truly practicing what we believe in. And we don't contemplate on this reality and this fact. And because in majority of the cases, we feel that if you were to follow the teachings of Allah and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the worldly situation that we are in, it would not help us. We would be deprived of either wealth, either status, either position. So we fear that by me behaving in a particular manner, whether it is in a Muslim environment, non-Muslim environment, with friends, those people that are peculiar with regards to Islam, or those that don't know anything about Islam, we feel that by me adapting to the teachings of Islam, I'm not going to benefit in any way whatsoever. But my friends, this is nothing but a false notion. And this is nothing but deception from shaitan. It is only in following the commandments of Allah, whether a person has a beard for the sake of following the teachings of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether a female wears a hijab or a niqab for the sake of following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person wants to perform salah no matter where they are, for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for fulfilling the commandment of Allah, in there he would see success and he would see how Allah facilitates for him. Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah, in order to explain this, he mentioned an incident of Hakim ul-Ummat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. He says, in order to make us understand ground realities and make us understand how Allah facilitates for a person when he decides that he wants to fulfill the commandments of Allah. So he gives his own personal experience. He says that once I was traveling on a train, and I had to go from one place to another, and in between, I had to change trains. So the station that I had to swap trains at, it was a station which was completely deserted. So in India, before the partition, when I was traveling, there was no one at that station. And it so happened that the time of Salatul Maghrib entered. So as soon as I got off the train, the first thought that crossed my mind was that I need to perform my Maghrib Salah. So I had my belongings with me, and it was quite scary in the station because no one was there. It was dark, and I could not see anyone who I can request to look after my belongings. And I was worried that I need to perform my salah. So this worry was bothering me, that it's time for salah, I need to perform salah, and if only I can find a suitable place. So he said, I was concerned to perform salah and fulfill this command of Allah. But the circumstances were not such that I could just leave my things and perform salah. So again, look at how applicable and complete our deen is. The deen does not say that let your wealth go to waste, and even if you have the fear of your wealth being taken by someone, perform your salah. No, you need to think logical. Even at that time, if a person were to decide that come what may, even if my wealth is taken, I will still perform salah, his belief should be that while performing my salah, Allah will make sure that he won't take my wealth. If the circumstances led to that, that should be the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that while performing my salah, Allah will not harm me in any way. But a person needs to think logically, and he needs to determine the condition and the situation that he's in. He doesn't just blindfoldedly, without thinking rationally, takes the decisions. So he thought that, what do I need to do now? So whilst in this thinking process that I need to perform my salah, he says that it so happened that the station master, the person who was guard at the station, or the master of the station, who happened to be a disbeliever, he sees me from a distance. So he sees me, he comes towards me, and he says to me, because he looked at his attire, he realized that this person looks like a religious man, he looks like a Mawlana. So he said to him, that, O Mawlana, O Shaykh, it seems as though it is the time of your prayer, and you need to perform your prayer. So he says to him, that come into my office and perform your prayer. So Hakim ul-Ummat Mawlana Ashfari Thanvi rahmatullah is explaining, all I did was show concern to perform my prayer. I did not ask this man, I did not approach him, but look at how Allah facilitated for me. I was concerned that I need to perform my prayer, so Allah put in this person's heart to go and approach me and ask me that it seems as though you need to pray, so why don't you come into my office? So he says that I accepted that proposal and I entered his office. When I entered the office, he says that this thought started to bother me, that this person, the office that he has been given, the lighting and the material in this office, he can only use it in fulfilling his tasks as a office, as a station master. So whatever material is there, the light, because at that time there was no electricity, so they would use lanterns. So the lantern, pen, whatever other material was in that office, it is only for his use whilst he's on duty. He can't take anything home. So Islamically, this shows us as well that if you're working in an office, you can't use the company's phone to make phone calls to India, Pakistan, and make the most of that opportunity, because your contract does not allow you to do that. You have been given the phone or the office equipment to be used to fulfill your duty as an employee, and not to use it for your own personal use. So Hakim ul-Ummat Mawlana Ashfari Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says that very soon he's going to enter now, and he's going to use a lantern which does not allow him to use for his personal use or for my use. He can only use it when he's using the office for his own work and for his own tasks.
So how would I explain to him that the lantern that you're using, I can't use that? He won't understand because he does not understand the concept of deen, first and foremost. So how would I be able to explain the intricate details of deen? So he's saying that I was worried that the lantern that belongs to the company, he would use it for my use and it won't be permissible for him. And he won't understand if I go on to explain that to him. So what shall I do? So he says, as soon as I was in that dilemma of thinking and contemplating, suddenly the station master entered and he said to the Mawlana, that Mawlana, what can I say to you? For so many months, the lamp and the lantern that the company gave me has not been working. So the company, the lantern and the lamp that they've given me has not been working, and you're lucky that today I brought my own lantern from home. I brought my own lantern from home. If this lantern wasn't there, you would have had to pray in the darkness. So because I brought my own lantern from home, this is the one that I'm using now. So Hakim ul-Ummat Maulana Ashfali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says that look at how Allah facilitates for a person when he decides to fulfill the commandments of Allah. He wanted to perform salah, Allah facilitated for him. He was concerned that the usage of the lantern would not be permissible for me. So Allah facilitated for him that the lantern was not of the company, the lantern was that own person's. So it was permissible for him to use. So he says that when a person makes this his goal and objective in life, that he wants to do as Allah wishes, no matter where he is, no matter how hostile the situation may be, and no matter what the conditions he faces, it is impossible. It is impossible that he tried to fulfill the command of Allah and Allah does not assist him. Because it defies logic that you want to do as Allah wishes and he does not facilitate for you. So you just have to make that first step. You have to show that determination and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you reach the destination. So good deeds, they definitely play an important part and an important role in a person's life. So what we wanted to discuss was the effects of evil and haram. The effects of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the verse of the Quran, we can understand very clearly that when a person violates the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then not only is he affecting himself, he is affecting the community, he is affecting the whole of humanity. He is affecting the whole of humanity. It is mentioned in Mishkat al-Masabi, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that a certain bird, he gives a name of a bird known as Hubara, which is translated as a ruddy goose in the English language. So he says that even this bird in its nest, so why did he mention this bird? Because this bird generally can stay without water for many days. And it can survive without water for many days. So he says that even this ruddy goose, the Hubara bird, in its nest, it dies of Allah not sending rain and being deprived of water. Why? Because of the evil deeds that man does. So Allah, as a result of someone disobeying, when he causes drought and famine to strike the earth, then not only are human beings affected by that, the evil doing of this man also affects this bird who generally can survive without water for days on end. So we can't think and we can't take it for granted that if I'm doing wrong, it's up to me. What's it to you? No. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, that you definitely should enjoin good and forbid evil. Because if you don't stop people from doing evil, then when the punishment of Allah will descend, it will not only take those evildoers who are engaged in disobeying Allah, it will also take those who are good. So if you want safety and security on this earth, you have to make sure that those people who are under you, who you can advise, who you can control, you guide them towards good and you forbid evil. That is why the Prophet ﷺ says, "Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi." That whosoever sees an evil, he should change that with his own hands. Meaning physically, he should try to bring a change. فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ If he can't bring a change with his hands, with power and force, with his tongue, he should say that this is wrong. فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ If he cannot bring a change through his tongue and through advising someone, then with his heart, he should bring a change. Generally, we tend to think that with the heart, meaning that you should think of it as being evil. No. Your feeling over the wrong that is being carried out and the crime that has been perpetrated should be such that how can I change that? That should be your feeling, not just feeling that that's bad what this person is doing. Your inner feeling should be that it is so bad, it is going to affect me, it's going to affect my community, it's going to affect the world. And oh Allah, please save God and protect us. That is the feeling that you should have, which will bring a change hopefully. When you see something wrong, you feel that you can't change it physically, you can't change it verbally, then the condition of your heart should be this, that you pray to Allah, that oh Allah, these evils, these disobediences that are rampant and rife within our community, oh Allah, you remove them and you save God and protect us. When a person does that, then he is fulfilling his duty of amr bil ma'roof, enjoining good, when nahyu anil munkar and forbidding evil. So a person cannot just get away with thinking that as long as I am doing as I'm supposed to, there's no problem. There's no problem between you and Allah, but when punishment will descend, it will also take you in its toll. And obviously you would be raised according to the deeds that you've done. That's something different. But as a whole, the whole community is affected by a single person's disobedience. And it has a knock-on effect upon everyone. So we should not take disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lightly. So Allah clearly says that corruption, disarray has become rife and prevalent on earth and in the sea because of the doings of mankind. And why is this? لِيُذِيكُ ذَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيَذِيكُهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي مَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ So that Allah makes them taste some of لِيُذِيكُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي مَا عَمِلُوا So that Allah makes them taste some of what they've done. So that punishment is not the punishment of the hereafter. The punishment of the hereafter, that still lies in wait. It's only a taster of what lies in wait in the hereafter. So when Allah causes such disarray, destruction, corruption to become rife on this earth, it is in fact a blessing in disguise. Because why? Allah says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ So that people of understanding, they would see what is happening and they would turn back to Allah. They would begin to repent and ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we commit a crime, when we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it affects everyone that are around us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in a hadith, he says that إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا أَخْتَأَ خَتِيئَةً نُكِتَتْ فِي كَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ That when a person, when a servant of Allah does an act of wrongdoing, when he violates a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result, a black spot appears on his heart. So each and every person, when he sins, his heart is affected by that. His heart is darkened and a black spot appears. Further, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَإِن كَانَ هُوَ نَزَأَ And if he were to stay away from that disobedient, if he were to adopt dissent, وَاسْتَغْفَرَ وَتَابَ And if he were to repent and ask forgiveness, سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ Once again, the black spots will be removed and his heart will become clear. So each sin that you commit, that brings a black spot on your heart. And the more you commit the sin, the more darker your heart becomes. It is said in the Arabic language, that al-ma'siyah baridu al-kufr. The ma'siyah, that is disobedience of Allah, is the post of kufr. So just as you have the post where you send your letters, which are then delivered to the addressee. And this is a means of getting the message across to someone. And this is a means of getting your correspondence to someone. Similarly, the means to kufr is al-ma'siyah. So the means to kufr, it behaves like the post, and it becomes the medium between yourself and kufr. So the more one disobeys Allah, the more black spots appear on his heart. And if he's not careful, a situation can arise where his whole heart becomes completely black. And he is never then able to accept. He's never then able to accept righteousness. He's never able to accept the truth. Time does not permit me, or else I would have elaborated on a particular hadith of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, reported by Hazrat Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wherein he questioned Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the companions, that who from among you know about trials and tribulations that would befall mankind. A narration of Sahih Muslim. So everyone said that we all know. I don't want to go into the detail. In short, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that no, I'm not mentioning with regards to minor trials and tribulations which a person experiences in his family. The wife is not listening, the children are not listening, there is discord, disunity. These are all minor. These are all minor trials and tribulations which can be resolved by way of asking for forgiveness, by way of fulfilling the commandments of Allah. I am asking you about such trials that will come, which will be so huge and so great, like the huge waves of the ocean. Like the huge waves of the ocean. So Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, I know these trials. I know about these trials because I remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying and mentioning about these trials. So then he goes on elaborating, and he says that these trials that will descend and come will be so severe that that person whose heart has become dark through disobedience, very readily they will accept those trials. They would fall prey to those trials. They will never be able to ward these trials and thwart them. They would readily accept that this is the condition that we are in now. It is impossible to fight and ward off such trials. So we'll all have to fall into this. We'll all have to do this. As you see in this day and age, so many things that occur and take place, which never used to happen 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So slowly, slowly, we're heading towards that path. And the person who keeps his heart pure and clean by way of obedience, when someone would say something to him which is disobedience and which is wrong, his heart will not accept that. He will only accept that which is righteous, which is pure and clean. Which is pure and clean. So if we look into our lives, these are the two distributions mentioned by beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There will be a group whose heart would become so dark that they would always fall prey to the trials and tribulations. And there would be a group who would be pure and clean from these trials and tribulations. And because these trials are so grave and the consequences are so detrimental, that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would seek refuge from such trials. He would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-fitan ma zahara minha wa ma batan. That, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the trials which are known, which are apparent and which are hidden. He did not need to seek refuge, but he teaches us that a time is going to come when you're going to be faced with these trials and tribulations. In one hadith we find that the Prophet ﷺ once said to the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that what would be your condition when a time would come, when a time would come, when you would stop enjoining good and forbidding evil. So when the Prophet ﷺ said this, the companions were shocked. And they said that, is that time going to come when we will stop enjoining good and forbidding evil? So he said that yes, it's going to come. And a time more severe than that is going to come. What would be a condition when you would take whatever is wrong to be right and whatever is right to be wrong? So the companion said, is that time going to come? So he said that yes, and something more severe is going to befall you. What would be your condition when you would invite towards evil and stop from good? And this is what we find ourselves in this day and age. And the consequences of this is none other than our deeds and our actions. And if we are not careful, if we do not try to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of us will fall prey to this. And this is not fictitious claims or statements. These are realities. These are ground realities which we need to understand and accept and try to thwart and try to repel. We can't just give up arms and say that all is going to happen, so let it so be. No. We need to fortify, protect ourselves so that we are safeguarded, our family is safeguarded, our future progeny is safeguarded. So disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the cause of such trials and tribulations befalling us. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when this person, he decides after committing a sin to dissent and leave it, and he asks forgiveness and he repents to Allah, the effect of that repentance is such that his heart is once again cleansed. So look at how simple Allah has made it, that you can sin for 100 years if a person had a life of 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years. But one day of his life, he decides to repent and ask forgiveness, that is sufficient for his forgiveness. There is no condition attached. There is no condition attached, provided that the conditions of forgiveness and repentance are found, Allah readily accepts forgiveness. Allah readily accepts repentance. Allah does not say that so many years you spent in disobeying me, I'm not going to accept you. He doesn't say that. So we should make sure that we, after committing something wrong, immediately repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah says, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ أَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. There are two things Allah mentions which will repel the punishment of Allah. Allah says that Allah will not punish them, meaning the nation, the people of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remain on this earth. So Allah says, consoling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as you are alive, rest assured that these people that disbelieve in you, I'm not gonna destroy them. I won't destroy them. As long as you're alive, I'm not going to punish them. And then he further says, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ أَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And he won't cause punishment to descend as long as they ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say that, he would say this after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there were two things that would safeguard and protect us from the punishment of Allah, was the very bodily presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now he no longer remains physically on this earth. So there is one thing that would repel the punishment of Allah, and that is asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even till this day, until the final hour, asking for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will safeguard and protect a person from punishment and the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person, he asks forgiveness, repents, his heart is cleansed once more. And then further the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَإِنْ عَادَ, if he returns back to the sin, زِيدَ فِيهَا, and he continuously commits that same sin and that same crime, and he excels in committing that sin, زِيدَ فِيهَا, he begins to excel to such heights, حَتَّى تَعْلُوَ قَلْبَهُ, that the dark spots, it encompasses and engulfs his whole heart. And then he further says, وَهُوَ الرَّانُ الَّذِي ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, and that is the rust which Allah has mentioned in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, that Allah has caused rust to settle on their hearts because of the deeds that they are doing. So we would not want that condition to befall us. So my brothers, what we need to do in such circumstances is, we don't lose hope, we don't lose hope, and we don't conclude that there is no light at the end of the tunnel. No, that is not what I'm trying to convey. But the message that I'm trying to convey is that after disobeying Allah, after going against His commands, because it has an adverse, a negative effect on our lives, we need to make sure that we remedy that. We remedy that. And as long as our condition, it remains like this, apart from the Anbiya, there is no human being who is immune from committing sin. Every human being commits a sin. He disobeys Allah. But the one who after sinning, he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له, that the one who repents after committing a sin, it is as though he's not committed any sin. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ, that Allah loves those who repent to Him. So why would a person repent? He repents because he commits a crime. He disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَتَّاءٌ وَخَيْرُ الْخَتَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ, that each and every son of Adam, he commits a sin. And the best sinner is he who after sinning, he asks forgiveness. That is part and parcel of life. So we don't need to become such that we lose hope in the mercy of Allah and we conclude that there is no way of me acquiring safety and protection. No. As long as there is belief and there is iman in our hearts, there is hope. And as long as the final hour does not strike us, there is hope. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Uthmani rahmatullahi alayhi, the father of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani and Mufti Muhammad Rafi Uthmani hafidhahumullah, he would say that abi fursate tawbah e zalim der nakar, abi fursate tawbah e zalim der nakar, that you still have an opportunity. Zalim is that person who violates the commandments of Allah. So he says, abi fursate tawbah e zalim der nakar, that you still have an opportunity, O oppressor, O sinner, to repent. So don't delay. Don't delay. He then concludes saying, wo bhi gira nahi jo gira aur fir sambal gaya, that person who is in a wrestling match or a boxing match, until the count of 10, as long as he gets up, he's not a loser. The knockout is that person who before the count of 10 is not able to get up. So in this life as well, we are also in a bout with shaitan. He is knocking us, we try to knock him. He punches us, we try to punch him. He tries to wrestle us, we try to wrestle him. But as long as after he wrestles us to the ground, we get up before the count of 10. And what is the count of 10? So he wrestles us to the ground by way of making us commit a sin. So we get up by doing tawbah. We are not a knockout. As long as this continues until our last breath, only that person is a knockout who is struck with death and his time is over and he's not able to then repent and ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person should never feel that it is impossible for me to mend my ways, and it is impossible for me to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would like to conclude. My Honorable Shaykh Hafidhullah, he says, after advising the youth especially, that obviously it is our responsibility after listening to all these things and all the advice of the ulama to try and come onto the right path, to adopt piety, to adopt taqwa, and to become religious, righteous people. But even after trying, if a person feels that it is beyond me, and I can't achieve anything. So my Shaykh would say that even at that time, don't lose hope. You can still pray to Allah. You can still raise your hands and say to Allah that, oh Allah, I understand what I'm supposed to do. But I am so weak, I am not doing that. So Allah, please forgive me. Oh Allah, please assist me. Oh Allah, please forgive me, please assist me. Even that is the least that a person can do. Rather than losing hope and giving up all hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is beyond me. At least you could do this much, that if you're not physically, mentally feeling up to it and feeling that you don't have the stamina to fulfill the commandments of Allah, you can at least in the solitude of your home, on your own, turn to Allah and pray to Him that, oh Allah, what I'm supposed to do, I'm not doing that. Oh Allah, please help me, please assist me. Oh Allah, please bring me onto the right path. That, my friends, would definitely have a positive effect on your life. It would definitely bring a change in your life. It would definitely bring a change in your life. It is mentioned that Haji Imdadullah rahmatullahi alayhi was once asked by someone with regards to the remembrance of Allah. With regards to remembrance of Allah, he was either complaining or lamenting that I am unable to acquire the true remembrance of Allah. It is not set in my heart. So, he felt despondent. So, Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah alayhi said that Allah ka naam athar kiye bagair rehta nahi. That when you say the name of Allah, it most definitely has a positive effect on a person's heart. Whether a person feels that or not, it definitely leaves a positive effect on a person's heart. So when a person would raise his hand and say, oh Allah, even that would be sufficient for him. Feeling lament, feeling remorse, that oh Allah, what I was supposed to do, I'm not doing that. Even that would bring a positive change. And that could take him to great heights and become a turning point in his life. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to understand this reality. So I would once again conclude by saying that whatever good we do that has a positive effect and impact in our lives, whatever evil we do that definitely has an adverse and negative effect on our lives. So it is up to us what we want to choose. Everyone wants a good life in this world. So he will only acquire that through the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through the disobedience of Allah, there is nothing but deception. It's only but an illusion. It is nothing but a mirage. Shaitan, he makes it very glittery. He makes it very amusing. But behind the veil, behind the scenes, when a person ends up following that path, only then does he realize what harm he has caused himself. Drugs, illicit relationships, the enjoyment of that is a deception. And the person who engages in such vices, he is misled and deceived by shaitan, because the enjoyment is only for 1 second, for a few minutes, for an hour the most, and the remorse and regret is eternal. And when it comes to following the commandments of Allah, the hardship is also for a few seconds or for a few moments. And the bliss and the blessings are eternal. My Shaykh would mention, Hafizahullah, by giving this example, especially for the youth that are present here, that if we were presented with two fruits, for example, two fruits, one, you told that if you were to taste this, it is very sweet for That amount of time that he chewed, so for 1 minute, 2 minutes, after that, the taste that would remain in your mouth would be bitter and sour for the whole day. So you presented with that fruit, and you're given a choice of another fruit. That if you take this fruit, then when you would taste it, and you would chew it, there would be a bitter taste for a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes at most. And after that, the sweetness you would experience for eternity. The sweet taste would remain forever and ever. So an intelligent person, which fruit would he take? He would take the second fruit. Because he wants eternal enjoyment, eternal pleasure. So in the same way, in this world, whatever temporary enjoyments we see in front of us, it is nothing but that fruit, when we first taste, it is bitter, it is sweet, and after that there is nothing but bitterness. And bitterness in this world, and the eternal life of the hereafter in the form of the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we take that bitter pill of following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bitterness is only temporary, but the enjoyment and the bliss and the blessing is eternal in this world as well as in the hereafter. So the choice is ours, and it is up to us whether we take the path to piety or whether we take the path leading to fulfilling our pleasure and falling into destruction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to act upon what has been said. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم